There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Bowen.
And we want to introduce you to the new Cantina menu at Taco Bell.
Ooh! It's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients. Great as a lunchtime option.
Taste for yourself. The slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage,
yummy,
and new avocado verde salsa sauce.
Okay! With new menu options like Cantina chicken tacos, burrito, and quesadilla, there's something for everyone.
With this new Cantina chicken menu, the possibilities are endless.
Try the new Cantina chicken menu at Taco Bell.
Do you want to boost the economy like Taylor Swift? Do you want to run a business empire like Rihanna?
Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper.
Intuit helps you take control of your finances through products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Whether you're trying to manage your money or trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so you can live your best life. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, Intuit.com, to start living yours. Let's get into it.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. Wow.
Oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling.
And I don't know. I miss you being in my physical space.
I know, but I think this is better when we have a guest. It's better that we're... The three of us are all in separate spaces so that there's no, you know, we're not doing...
I understand how it works, okay? I don't need you to sort of explain to me and micromanage my understanding of
things.
I'm
not doing
that. I just miss you, okay? And can we just be emotional for once?
Yes! You know what? It's... We're only ever vulnerable when it's on Matt's terms, I feel.
You're so stupid. Shut up.
Whenever I want to have a moment with my friend, the walls are up.
That's actually interesting.
It shields up, you know what I'm saying? But you know, but the roles switch from time to time.
From time to time. Although anyway, I have to say this is not the sort of note I wanted to start on. I wanted to start on a very celebratory note.
What are we celebrating?
The female parts in Hamilton.
Okay.
I skip the whole thing. I just go right to the girls.
You just go right to the girls.
When I found out that Disney Plus was streaming Hamilton, I went right to Ms. Renee Elise Goldsberry. I watched Philippa Sue do Helpless.
Yes.
But I sort of needed to check in on all my favorite numbers. And I want to say... I don't think So Honey is tied to this, but
okay.
I am very happy that Hamilton is on for the public consumption.
We're going to get into the category fraud that might be at play at the Oscars because it's eligible for Oscars and
it's not.
You had told me that it was eligible for Oscars.
Okay, so this question was actually just answered for me. Let me find the answer to this. Okay, it is not eligible at the Oscars,
yeah.
But other awards are still possible. This is what Just Jared reports. And this is Just Jared. So who knows? But it says, the film version of the Broadway musical Hamilton will not be nominated for any awards at the 2021 Oscars because the film is not eligible.
Okay.
But let's see here. I don't know. Maybe Emmys.
Maybe Emmys. We're going to figure this out. If anybody works in any of the academies, let us know what the... esoterica is around this because we'd love to find out more.
But really, I was just celebrating the performance of it all.
They're wonderful performances. A lot of cultures happened in the last few days.
Ghislaine is under arrest.
Ghislaine is arrested. Fire Island is basically canceled.
Oh, gosh.
Geopolitically canceled, I would say. You wouldn't be caught dead going there, I think, anymore. No. Unfortunately. So we're having to mourn that as cisgender gay men who have class privilege to go on vacation. And then, gosh, so much else, right?
So you will not be going to Fire Island this summer.
I haven't ruled that out yet because I have... Stop. I mean, I'll just say it. My friend Julio is there and he's just staying in the house and he's
so
too afraid
you're
going to
go down, Julio's going to go down with you right now is what you're saying.
I'm saying if I were to go to Fire Island with my friend Julio for another week that we rented this house before the pandemic hit, then we're just going to stay in the house and not go out, which is kind
and
of what
you
we...
would just stay in the house sort of sequestered.
Because you know what? I'm not even about the nightlife and the bars and the drinks and the kikiing and when it's normal circumstances.
You just have to go to the damn beach.
I just want to sit by the pool and read. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds so, like, I don't know. It sounds so rom-commy and stupid, but that's truly what I like the most about those trips.
Like, you think that you represent a boring character in the rom-com that is Fire Island, the one who sits by the pool and simply reads?
Simply reads. It's a trope that I am okay with embodying. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know what happens to that character most of the time in rom-coms when they come in and they're very much the person who reads by the pool.
What happens?
Usually end up having the wildest journey. Mm-hmm. They usually end up really sort of dating, you know, the wild child.
Yeah. What's the flaw? What's like the inherent flaw in that character at the beginning of the movie in Act One?
Boring bitch.
And then the opposite of that flaw is compelling bitch.
Usually, something will have to happen to you that makes you say, you know what? I'm actually going out.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like everyone has to celebrate your choice to sort of like go out.
Yes, yes.
The funny story is this actually is a plot line of a film that you are going to play in the future.
Oh, yes, that's true. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Okay, so New York Magazine just came out with its TV issue, I would say. So there's the Michaela Cole profile from our friend Alex Stone.
Alex.
Phenomenal. I cried at the end. There was the Quibi piece. And there's a lot of just good TV journalism going on right now because it's Emmy season. Who cares? Our guest today.
A lot of people care.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't be so
And we have an Emmy contender here in the chat.
We have an Emmy contender here in the chat.
We actually have two Emmy contenders here in the chat. I forgot I was also eligible.
You're also eligible.
We have supporting actor in a comedy contender, Bowen Yang, here today in the chat.
Yes.
And Bowen Yang is eligible for Emmy nominations this year as an actor.
Yes.
And it is for his work on Saturday Night Live and Awkwafina is Nora from Queens, a short title.
So, our second Emmy contender is my co-host. He is eligible for Outstanding Game Show Host.
I'm not eligible for that, even though I make a real run for
it. What are you eligible for?
Get this. Outstanding Short Form Nonfiction or Reality Program.
For Game Show?
Yes. A tiny title for a category.
Tiny title for a category, but not tiny title of the work. Let me say,
size does not matter when it comes to how good a television program can be.
Absolutely not.
That's why we have James Corden Carpool Karaoke win every year. I mean, that's art. Deserves the Emmys.
And that's a long title. I am so excited that our guest is here. We've wanted to have her on for so long. We booked her pre-pandemic even.
Yeah. And I want to find out what she thinks of the Emmy chances of us.
Well, I just want her. I really trust her. I feel like she's this preeminent.
Me too.
She's this preeminent Twitter voice. I mean, we're constantly scrolling. When you and I are together, Matt, we're constantly scrolling through the DMV.
We have been known to go right to the page and just go ha ha ha
ha ha ha. Hunter. We go ha ha ha. Oh, Billions not nominated, logging off.
Logging off.
A photo of Phaedra Parks. You know, we laugh and laugh. Her writing is so phenomenal. She just wrote an amazing short profile on Haim. And she wrote this piece on James Cameron's upcoming movies.
I was
movies.
Just mentioning that I was thick into the article she just wrote, which is, you know, all about James Cameron's announcements of Avatar sequels. It's not about James Cameron's Avatar sequels.
It's the announcement.
It's rather about the announcements of new dates and new information about Avatar sequels, which has been really a cinematic narrative all on its own.
Amazing, and we thank her for that writing. We also thank her for the writing, the article she resurfaces every July 4th about Jackie. And I actually it inspired me to watch Jackie the other night, and I forgot how wonderful of a movie it is.
Well, one thing I love about our guest is she doesn't let things go.
No.
Just like us. And so she has not let Star Is Born go.
She has not let
Star Is Born go. No. I mean, she doesn't let things go. And I identify with that as someone who, just on our last episode, I think you and I both share this, we talked a lot about A Star Is Born, including why did you do that to me?
Yes. I feel like she is also the sort of also the preeminent voice on A Star Is Born. So we're so excited to have her. She's a writer at Vulture and famed skincare routine that we all are still talking about.
Glowing to this in the day. Chat.
Glowing in the chat. Positively glowing on Zoom.
Early front runner for title of EP.
Glowing on Zoom. Okay, and we're blasting out her ears. She just took her AirPods out. Unmute. Go ahead and unmute. So everyone, please welcome into your ears, Hunter Harris.
Okay, hi. I am panicking. I've gone through two sets of headphones. Through the course of this.
Okay.
Don't panic.
It should be okay.
The first thing I want to say is don't panic.
Don't panic.
I want you to just breathe. All right, so we are back, and something revolutionary has happened. We had to stop and figure it out, but we did.
We did. Hunter, talk to us about where your head's at and with the Emmy race right now. What are your feelings?
What are your predictions, thoughts, feelings, and plots?
Okay, so my only real thought about the Emmys is the way that IMDb will prioritize a Golden Globe nomination or win over an Emmy nomination or
fools.
Win. That just makes no sense to me, considering fools. Who actually votes for the Golden Globes.
Sure.
But otherwise, I feel as, you know, I'm just along for the ride. Listen.
Yes.
I'm along for the ride, too, and I feel that isn't it funny that there was ever a time where we thought the Golden Globes were, like, of prestige? Like, I remember being little and, like, watching and being like, well, the Golden Globes are, like, one of the biggest ever. Like, and then you really find out that it's, like, 85 foreign journalists.
Right, yeah. Truly. Like, you can count on one hand the people who vote for the Golden Globes. And also, they all, like, do you remember, I think it was last year, when a Golden Globe voter profiled Drew Barrymore for some like very small, very random magazine, and all of the quotes were fabricated.
That
is
illegal.
A true story.
What? Oh my God.
I promise you. This was, I think it was either last year or the year before. But like so many of the quotes like didn't make sense. And it came out somehow that the reporter who wrote this, who is a Golden Globes voter, again to say, she like took quotes from that she like overheard or something from like a junket somewhere. I don't know, just
and sort of pretended there was a piece to write.
And they're still in the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. They're still a voter.
I think you could truly just have a pile of bodies and still be in the Hollywood Foreign Press.
Yes. Wow.
But no. So all I'd say when it comes to the Emmys, I'm just as curious as the next gal.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask a dumb question? In what way is IMDb prioritizing Golden Globes wins over Emmys wins? Like,
it's like
in the star meter. It's like
not in the star meter. It's like when you're on someone's actual profile.
Yes.
It will like there's like that little yellow box that says like nominated for 2 Oscars or like 2 wins, something like that.
One Golden Globe. Yeah.
Right. But the Emmys, you truly have to click on it and go to like the full awards page to see any Emmy nominations or wins, which I think is a hilarious metric.
Okay.
There's foul play.
There's foul play.
And speaking of long names of categories, my favorite category ever is supporting actress in a made-for-television movie, miniseries, or limited series. Like, just like the longest title for anything. And then they fit like
truly like Laura Dern's performance in there with like someone who was in like a miniseries only you've seen on the BBC. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
It's just so funny. And like also comedy and drama, just like the spectacle that is the placement of categories when yes. it comes to the Golden Globes is something I love.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Now, Hunter, I've heard you talk in interviews about how, as a journalist, maybe you enjoy writing about film more than about TV. Or is that a fair assessment? Do you still feel that way now?
I do, in some ways.
Okay.
I just watch so many more movies, and I have, like, a much clearer sense of, like, film history and not yes. so much TV history. So I do feel like I'm a little bit more in my depth when it comes to movies.
Totally.
And that is primarily what I cover at Vulture.
Yes, because you're not, because you have, you can be conclusive about what your assessment is over of a film more than you can a TV show, where it's like, well, I wonder what'll happen next season. Like, I don't know. It's TV is a little bit more boundless in that way, which is good. And
right,
also,
and also there's so many more hands in a TV show than, you know, one movie.
Totally, yeah. Totally.
So you would say that when it comes to, and when we say film, what we mean is Avatar. And so when it comes to the film, the film industry's future, what are we looking at here? And can you shed light on just, so we can sort of manage our expectations about the next time we'll see Nate Thierry?
Yes.
I think, honestly, we'll get an Avatar movie every 5 years until I fucking die.
Yeah.
Like, James Cameron will not stop.
No.
I think he's like locked himself into like a cryo chamber with, and like a Horcruxes have their own cryo chambers.
Yes.
Yes. So that we'll just get them forever. I remember one of my colleagues, Kyle Buchanan, whenever yes. James Cameron announced that he was going to make all these Avatar sequels, it was like originally just one sequel and then it became like 25.
Yeah.
Kyle said like, RIP James Cameron, will miss you making yeah. regular movies and not just Avatar until the end of the world. But no, it's funny. I actually have not seen the entirety of the Avatar movie.
Really?
You have not?
I haven't. I just...
It's long.
It's long. I just couldn't get into it. I'm like...
It's long and life is short.
No. Yeah. Sam Worthington never came to fruition.
No.
Isn't it weird that he is the star of the biggest film of all time? Well, Sam Worthington. He was in approximately one film, and it was that.
I mean, this was...
No, no, no. You are forgetting that he did at least one, like, Christian movie.
Yes.
I think it was The Shack, but I'm not sure.
The Shack.
Yes. Was Octavia Spencer in The Shack?
I think she was.
Yes, 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 yes. But those Octavia movies always sort of sneak
that.
In.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. She had a career after that, and he... didn't.
Right. Octavia is checking every box she needs to right now. I feel like Ma is such a jackpot for her, because she had like, now she's part of a modern camp classic, I feel. Mm-hmm. And now she gets to like go on and keep like getting nominated for these supporting actress roles that are like emotional labor role. I don't know, whatever. Octavia, I mean, I hope she like gets nominated for like a meaty role that is not her like being someone's sidekick, but I feel like with Ma she really like cashed that in quick and good, and now she doesn't have to worry about that.
Right, she has her cultural capital.
Exactly. The cachet is the, yeah.
What I was kind of floored came and went was her show Truth Be Told on Apple TV Plus or whatever.
Oh, yes.
Which was basically Murder, She Podcasted. Essentially, it was like, literally, yes. It was Murder, She Wrote, but she had a podcast. And I literally thought, wasn't she supposed to redo Murder, She Wrote? Were they not rebooting Murder, She Wrote with her?
With Octavia.
I thought they were. And then all of a sudden I saw the show Truth Be Told. And I was like, what is this? Because I never heard about it at all. All I heard about from that whole entire endeavor was The Morning Show.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this? And when is it coming out? And then I realized that it had come out 4 months prior. And it was literally, the trailer was Murder, She Podcasted. And I was like, did this become this? Or...
I mean, who can ever know with these like streaming launches anymore? But can we talk about how there has not been like a successful streaming platform launch that I can think of besides Netflix? I mean, like
Disney
truly,
Plus
like,
is a huge
success. Disney Plus, yeah, okay, because we're all doing these report cards on like HBO Max, you know, what like Apple TV Plus and like Quibi. It's like
Say the word, like, Quibi.
Quibi, Quick Bites.
Huge success.
But like, and like, obviously, like, the report card is like, they're not, they didn't do great, or they didn't impact as well as they wanted to. But like, I feel like besides Disney Plus, like, what has been, like, in recent memory, like, the big streaming platform, like, unveiling, that's launched, that's been like gangbusters, you know?
I think HBO Max has been successful because they do have a big backlog of movies that were, like, previously unavailable, it seems. But again, I did watch only one HBO Max show, and it was truly the worst thing I've ever subjected myself to.
Which one?
What was it?
The Anna Kendrick Show.
Oh.
Yeah, Love Life.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah, uh-huh. I literally can't. I can't even try. Unfortunately.
Well, I respect that. I just was wallowing and I had to do something.
But even for you, Hunter, like, you can't appreciate how, like, ridiculous it is, or is it not even that interesting? It's like too banal to be good.
It was just too crazy to be good to me. It was like, wow. It was so out there. It was so, like,
what was out there about it? I don't know much about it.
Okay, let me tell you. Every episode is a relationship in her life with a man.
Okay.
And I think, like, halfway through the season, it's a flashback to the Anna Kendrick character when she's 12 and she has a crush on a boy, and he, like, sort of ghosts her, and they're at boarding school, and then she tells everyone she has cancer and to gain sympathy, obviously.
Wow.
And then she meets him at a bar, like, 8 years later, and they want to, you know, kiss, and then she runs away. I was like, I can't do this anymore.
I'll tell you
what. I cannot.
What,
like, I cannot.
That doesn't sound good, but for me, I wouldn't even get there because, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't be saying things like this, like, but I just can't. I cannot with Anna
So
Kendrick.
Many bad wigs also got us to that point.
Oh.
That it was too much. It was too much. I feel bad talking about Anna Kendrick because we have the same birthday, and that's the first thing I think about.
And you don't want to attack someone with the same birthday as you, and that
it's a holy
tough.
Day.
It's,
you know,
a holy day.
What sign is that?
Leo. We both have Whitney Houston's birthday, August 9th.
Oh, wow. My God.
Okay, so yeah, we're not going to speak ill of the girl, because clearly there's something there that puts her in line with Hunter and Whitney, the two sort of one name icons. Those are
Hunter,
the two
Whitney and,
yeah, actually it's Real Culture number 43.
The two sort of one name icons are Hunter and Whitney. Let's quickly sidebar on this, because I feel like we haven't really explored this yet. Celebrities you share birthdays with, is there, like, an implicit, like, connection, empathy there? Like, I feel this way about Ethan Hawke and Emma Stone and Seal, even. These are the three people I share birthdays with. And I'm like, don't come for them. Those are my people. You know what I'm saying?
You, Ethan Hawke, and Emma Stone?
And Seal. Isn't that great?
That's such a mixed bag.
I know. I mean, like, three very different people. And I don't really find, like, I have that much in common with the three of them, but I mean, feel connected to them. Matt, do you know who your birthday
is? I actually am literally a twin with the person that is shares my birthday with.
And do we know who this person is?
Eva Mendes. Me and Eva Mendes have the same birthday.
Absolutely, you're the same people.
We're incredibly similar. Yes. Yeah, we have very similar energies. Like, it's actually, we kind of sort of bring the same vibe.
You actually, I'm not even joking. This is true. You guys.
No,
have,
I know.
Yes,
I'm not kidding. And also, I have to say, the other young girl I share a birthday with is someone who's, it's almost like the industry has decided that she's famous, or maybe RuPaul's Drag Race has decided that she's famous, but yes. Madison Beer.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Young girl Madison Beer, gonna have to Google that one.
Gonna have to Google that one.
Well, let me say, she's recently become famous in the eyes of Drag Race because she's guest judged and she's been a quote-unquote celebrity contestant. I don't know who she is or what she does, but we do have the same birthday. And she's really stormed onto the scene, apparently, because list of famous birthdays March 5th, she's first, and then Eva Mendes is second.
Okay, that's disrespect.
It's insane disrespect. And then I'm like,
okay,
is
that
she
does
like
not
a
make sense.
Is
that
she like a Gen Z thing? And then maybe I'm
no, her agents there. Know what SEO is, and then they just, like, figured it out. They called Google. That's
well,
what
she's
happened.
An American singer, says Wikipedia.
Okay. Well, now, Hunter, this adds so much more depth to whenever you use a Whitney gif, I would say.
Oh, yes, of course.
This is huge. I feel like you and Ira are the I keep saying this word, but preeminent, but it applies, folks.
Yeah.
Preeminent Whitney gif deployer. I would say. And that's a huge honor.
And that's history.
And that's history. And that, ah, that's Thank history.
You. That is a moment most pleasing to me in my most career. Pleasing what to a me. Moment.
Wow. I mean, she really, like, that meme has really stood the test of time in terms of, like, the past 2 years it's been a thing. I don't see it going anywhere.
Whitney really was a trove of good memes. I mean, second only to, like, Tiffany Pollard or Monique. Yes. Really, everything she did was funny.
Well, Matt, you and I saw Brandy Cinderella the other night. It's on YouTube. And she is just turning in a solid performance there. And you're just like, what? Like, but there's still like this very like meme-friendly quality to it, I think. Matt, you're making a face.
Well, I would say this. I would say, is it as much of a performance as it is Whitney Houston coming in there and being Whitney Houston? Yes, but that's really all you need.
But then she sings when Impossible. When she says,
diddly diddly foodle. It's just like the way she lands the words. I'm like, she is she's funny.
She's funny.
She is.
You get the sense that she was like such a funny, fun person to be around. And also when you watch like archival footage of her and Brandy in the studio, like Brandy singing,
why
you know,
are
like,
you down there?
And she goes, why are you down there?
Formative. Formative to me.
Formative like, to
Hunter. You, but you get that it's like she is just trying to help Brandy, but it's that sort of thing where it's just like yelling.
Yes, yes, yes. Wow. I feel like Hunter is this very exciting purveyor of culture, and she's serving it up to all of us, and we're like, oh my God, yes, and she is the authority on this. So why, let's just talk about why A Star Is Born, why Jackie, why your touchstones?
Because
I feel like
you
have a rotation going, I think, Hunter. Would you say that's fair?
I guess I do. I actually have a Jackie poster right here.
Oh, my God.
In my home.
Very good.
What Star Is Born memorabilia do you have? Anything?
Okay, well, there is a photo on my refrigerator.
Okay.
And I have, I guess, just the record.
Oh, the physical
else.
Record?
You have like a...
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I took
that's
it
a good
from
one.
The National Board of Review Awards. Honestly, 10 out of 10.
Record. Yeah, yeah,
There's
yeah.
There's so
yeah.
many like photos in it and all of the stuff. I was like the physical product, but also
yes.
the music. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
What else? I had like a makeup artist like pre-coronavirus, obviously. And she was like looking around my apartment like, do you work in movies? And I was like...
Yes.
And like looking at like a Succession poster on the wall. I have a Jackie poster. I'm like, I mean, no. It was so embarrassing. But yeah, I don't know. I think I just like movies that are fun to talk about and also things that just like stick in my brain. And I don't know. I just, maybe I can't let stuff go.
No, you like.
I like what I like so specifically.
I know, same. I identify with this. And I think what you like and are is you like stunts. You like things that are easy pulls. Like, I think like once Lady Gaga turned around and said what, and he said, just want to take another look at you, you probably felt like a sort of elation, right?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
it's like
same.
You just ascend to a higher level of being. When
exactly.
Just, it's like. Drama.
And to me, that's what makes movies good. And that's why I like if it's a little campy or stupid, as long as it's memorable and it made you feel something, like give me movies like that 9 times out of 10, I think.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. But I feel like Hunter has the same ear for phonetics the way that Matt and I think we do, where like Matt and I like connected over the way people deliver lines, but Hunter wrote a whole vulture piece about the way Peter Sarsgaard says, what did we accomplish in Jackie? And like, that's like, and it's only because of the way he delivers that line or the way he pronounces accomplish, right? Like, dig into that
yes.
a little.
Okay. Yes. So in Jackie, it really does not make sense to me why Peter Sarsgaard is there.
Yes.
Playing Bobby Kennedy, because it just like does not, he does not like match the energy of Natalie Portman in this movie.
No.
So it kind of feels like an odd match. But he has this scene where he's like very distraught and he turns around and like with utter seriousness says, oh, what did we accomplish? And it's like, and that's like not even how it's said, but like that's how I hear it in my brain.
It only matters how it travels through time.
Right.
It doesn't matter how it was said. It matters how it travels through time and space.
Yes.
It's just like so just wrong.
Yeah.
And I can't get enough of it. I love the meeting of like this very serious, very like Oscar Beatty movie. And I say that with love because I do love this movie.
Yes.
And the way that he is like so obviously out of his depth, but the way that he's like still going for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the way that it just like stops your heartbeat. It's so wrong. I love
yes.
it.
Yes.
It's that one line that plays on a loop in your head.
Yes, yes.
And that's what leads to the damn chain of pieces. I'm actually reading yours on Closer right now. So can you, what is the one line in Closer that plays on a loop in your head?
Oh my gosh, there's so many in Closer because I was active on Tumblr in, you know, 2009. Yes.
And it was a horny movie. It was a horny movie at the time. We can say the reason why Closer really hits is because it's one of the horniest movies of all time.
And because everyone in it is hot.
Yeah.
Which is important. And Closer, it's like the classic line. Lying is the most fun a girl can have without taking her clothes off.
Yeah.
But it's better if you do.
She's got a ton. And she makes the most out of literally almost everything she's given, which is like, it's a very stagey, like written movie.
It's
but
a play.
She does.
It is a play, yeah.
She does give you I Don't Love You Anymore, Goodbye, and Hello, Stranger. And there's just a lot going on. Yeah. And it is camp. And it is sort of like, they happen in the movie, but they travel through time and space.
Even the way she says, my name is Alice Ayers. You're like, oh, whoa.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mike Nichols. It's God. So weird that it's in Mike Nichols' movie to me. It's always been like, it doesn't, it doesn't fit into the Mike Nichols, like, it doesn't feel like one of his things. Anyway, that's just my stray observation.
Every line in that movie is like so, it's so pithy. It's like the hottest person you know on their most clever day. And it's like, just give me like a slice of that.
Ugh, the hottest person you know on their most clever day.
Yeah, I mean, it's just definitely something people would say. Then we have in Social Network, you did a piece on Social Network, which is Let's Gut the Frigging Nerd, which again, it's one of those things that jumps out. I just watched the Social Network the other night and I was like, there is something about this movie and it's like, I wouldn't call it a need to be quotable, but it's like, sometimes it's like when a movie is trying to be quotable, you have to say, oh, honey. You know what I mean?
That's every Aaron Sorkin movie.
Yes,
but this one like works because the story is compelling and it's like I feel like it does speak to our generation, which is something I think that should be sort of noted when something, you know, I guess it's hard to note when something is speaking for your generation and feels of the moment, in the moment. But it's like when you look back at the Oscars of that year and you see that the King's Speech took Best Picture that year, It's like that movie could have been made anytime with anyone, by anyone. It felt like Sorkin writing about Facebook in that way at that time.
Yes.
Felt like a moment that we didn't appreciate. And so I'm willing to forgive its like little moments where it's so impressed with itself because it should be. It like is impressive. It's good.
Well, all the Armie Hammer and Max Minghella scenes I don't care for. And it must have been like that it was hard to shoot around Armie playing both parts,
maybe
both twins or whatever. And so like both of them feel robotic in this way. But Social Network, it's so weird to watch it now and to like hear things like friend requests or like remember like what, like the scenes where they would come up with these like, mm-hmm. Now, like
the relationship status terms. Part,
right?
Was, like,
and you're
huge.
Just like, oh yeah, like someone had to come up with that, and like mm-hmm. probably mm-hmm. felt excited. I don't know. I think it's someone probably at Vulture wrote about how it's like a more relevant watch now than it was when it came out.
Yes, Alison Wilmore did.
Yes,
for our Friday Night Movie Club a couple weeks ago. But I think it is. I mean, to Matt's earlier point, I think it is a movie and a script where the dialogue takes itself as seriously as the people saying it do, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm, I think mm-hmm. Aaron Sorkin is, like, perfectly matched to write someone who is, like, arrogant, obnoxious, and, like, thinks everything they say is actually so quotable. Because, like, mm-hmm. they're writing their own history as they're living it. And that's, like, I think why it's such, like, a prescient movie, because that's how we live now is like to be documented and recorded.
Right.
I also think that he is a really, I really like his work because, and this is a way I would sort of consider Shonda Rhimes too. It's like they get Dazzle. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. this is the movies. And so we should be entertained by the way that people speak and act and react. And so I think that's sort of whenever anyone's like, do people talk like this? I'm like, people don't,
doesn't matter.
Aren't in movies all the time. Yeah. And so we can be like, for example, that first scene, we talked a lot when we did our list. One of the most impactful moments in culture history, as we've said it, is Rooney Mara in The Social Network.
Yes.
And it's like, you would, if you were her in that movie, you would walk away from that table 5 minutes into that conversation because it's right. so insane. But I do love that the movie's like, watch what a spectacular asshole he is. And like, mm-hmm. we're going to write it spectacularly. So I'm into it.
Ooh, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and ask Kendra the question. Okay.
It's time for the question.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly. Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst. Hey, everybody. During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs classic clogs and sandals have both covered.
And when we're talking about style, we mean personal style. There's just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood and to match your personality and to fit the occasion.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style.
And now let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than the Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
Hey, it's Bowen, and I want to introduce you to the new Cantina Chicken menu at Taco Bell. Yes, it's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients, great as a lunchtime option. Taste for yourself the slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage, and new avocado verde salsa sauce. With new menu options like Cantina Chicken tacos, burritos, and quesadillas, there's something for everyone. And Taco Bell isn't just for a late night. With this new Cantina Chicken menu, the possibilities are, well, endless. Try the new Cantina Chicken menu at Taco Bell now. Now, I said.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
And we're back. So now let's ask Hunter Harris the question. I'm so excited and curious to know what the answer is. Hunter, what is the culture that made you say culture is for me? This is the formative culture that made you step into a cultural direction.
Okay, I feel like I promise I'm not pandering.
No.
But it's Erin Brockovich.
Yes! Wow.
Oh my God.
Honestly, you know what?
Okay, let me tell you.
Go. Speak.
You don't know how many times I watched Erin Brockovich between ages like 12 and 15.
Uh-huh.
It might have been at least, I mean, it was minimum twice a week.
Wow.
I broke the DVD. I did have a portable DVD player that I watched it on. And I'm just telling you, I saw that movie and it was like, okay, here we go.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
Now, what was it? Two questions. What was it about it that hooked you so? And another thing is, why was that movie so available? Didn't it feel like it was always on, or like for some reason people our age that like didn't, we're not the demographic for that, but we have such a sort of vocabulary for it.
My theory is, before Hunter goes, please answer those questions, but my theory is that it is the quintessential based on a true story movie, I think. Not like maybe, not, it's not the most important or biggest one, but like to me it feels like it's about what this one person did and, I don't know, like came from her circumstances to like do this thing. And she's like, and it's great cinema just to walk, to just watch Julia Roberts like curse and be that woman. That's my like...
Yes.
Amorphous theory. But Hunter, yes, what, like, what is the appeal, the perennial appeal to you?
I think it's a combination of everything you guys just said, that it was always on TV. Yes. It really felt that way for a certain amount of time. And if, before it was even always on TV, it was always like at my local Blockbuster and I would just see it and not know what it was. And then I love Julia Roberts. I think she's like, even the performances of hers that I don't like, I love. Closer is like kind of one of them. But yeah, I think that it is like seeing an incredibly famous person in a new way and seeing them how you always kind of suspect or hope they act in real life on screen. I think that's part of it. And also just like, is a Steven Soderbergh movie. Like is just so watchable. It has so much momentum and she is like how everyone wants to be. Like, you want to be like that, like fun and crass, and you want to have her boobs and you want to like have her legs. And like, even when I'm like, I guess Aaron Eckhart is hot. I don't know.
He's very hot in that movie.
Honestly, yeah. I completely forget he's even in it until he appears on screen every single time. I'm like, it's so the Julia show. And I think like it really is a perfect storm because it's A, Julia Roberts, who was the biggest star in the world. B, you heard that she was getting incredible Oscar-worthy reviews, so there's that. Then you see what it is, and she is super sexed up, and she's cursing. So there's like this edge that you're curious about that's like sort of, when it goes hand in hand with everything else, you're like, how could this not be the moment? And then when it like fulfills itself by being a box office success and getting the Oscars, it like cements its moment in history. And I have to say, I am ashamed and embarrassed that it did not make the list.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely agree. I mean, I feel like that is the among the more quotable films of that period, right?
Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
Well, it just so happens, I think I look nice. And as long as I have one ass instead of two, I'm going to wear what I like.
Thank you very much.
If that's all right.
If that's okay with you.
If that's okay with you.
You might want to look into those ties. Anyway, what?
Never forget. That's all you got, lady. Two wrong feet and fucking ugly shoes. Dazzle me. This is what I'm saying.
Yes.
You have to dazzle me.
What is the line where she's like, oh, fuck. It's like the other lawyer.
Yes.
And she's like, how did you get like 653 signatures?
They're
and
called
she's
boobs,
like, blowjobs. No, that's earlier in the movie.
That's earlier.
Okay.
That's when he says, what makes you think you can just walk in there and get what we need?
I know what you're talking about.
They're called boobs. And then she said, I performed 634 sexual favors. I'm quite tired.
Yes. Very good. Very good.
And also, I mean, her, talk about dazzle me. The monologue that she delivers to Aaron Eckhart when he asks for her number.
Oh, yes.
With all the numbers I just gave you, I'm guessing zero number of times you're going to call it.
You know Shonda studied that specific monologue multiple times.
Yeah, and also it's like such a perfect match of like type of dialogue and performer. Like she is, you can tell, and I love Julia, but you can tell whether it's explicit or implicit, she can be, she can get what she wants.
Yes.
And
she's Julia Roberts.
And like, I have heard every now and then that, like, you know, she can be sort of like, she gets what she wants. She is the biggest movie star in the world. And, you know, you don't get that, I think, by being the nicest person in the room. But who needs the nicest person in the room? I don't. I want someone who can do what she does in Erin Brockovich. And she can speak to me however she actually wants to for the rest of my life.
I saw that movie and it just like set my brain on fire. I was like, oh my God, this is cinema.
Cinema.
Yeah. Also, we all know what PG&E is.
PG&E.
Exactly. I honestly, especially now with coronavirus, I'm like, I'm going to snitch to Aaron Brockovich every single day. Like, yeah. This is not how things are supposed to be run.
Yes. We all have to be Aaron Brockoviches in this time. I just have to, I think the most electric moment in the movie for me is where Ed fires her and she storms in and she goes, what was I supposed to do? Check in every 2 seconds? Yes, it's called accountability. I'm not talking to you, bitch!
Yeah.
That scene is so perfect. And that performance, oh my God. And rest
Conchata
in peace.
Conchata Farrell, put some respect on her
Conchata
name.
Conchata Farrell.
Yes.
Put
Julia.
Some respect on Conchata's name because she was also iconic 2.5 Men fish.
Yes. And Albert nominated. Finney, rest in peace. Rest in peace, Albert.
Albert Finney, rest in peace. He's fantastic. And also, wait, we're forgetting about the Miss Wichita monologue.
Oh, which, yes.
With the flannel and the crown.
Which I actually, awesome. I went to school for screenwriting. I went to school for TV writing and I had like a minor in screenwriting. It's weird the way that NYU dramatic writing worked. Like I studied all of it and I had a screenwriting teacher refer to this moment as a really good example of when you get sort of the underlying motivation of a character. And she referred to moments in other screenplays as the Miss Wichita monologue moment.
And that comes like in the middle of the movie.
Yeah, we were watching some other movie and she was like, and this is Miss Wichita. And I was like, you rock.
Incredible.
You're an icon.
You got your money's worth.
100. I mean, I don't know about that one. It's a lot of money we gave to the institution. But yeah, no, that... what does she say? She says, are you going to be something I have to... Are you going to be another thing I have to survive? Because I'll tell you the truth. I don't think I'm up to it.
Oh! I think about that all the time. Like, if milk goes bad, it's like, are you going to be one more thing I have to survive? I'm telling you. That's going to be my next column, because truly, it's like, it sticks in my brain.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you should write about that.
Would it be like a one line that plays in a loop, or would it be like a more holistic view of it? Because you need to you love this movie. It's clear.
I do love this movie.
How would you want to approach it?
I don't know. It might be a one line thing, or I just, oh my God. I love this movie.
It's so good.
Just so good.
You know what's interesting to think about when it comes to Julia Roberts? I feel like because she was like the A-list actress when we were sort of growing up, or we feel like she was always around.
Yeah.
1990 was kind of her like big moment, right? Like after Mystic Pizza, then Pretty Woman, and so she became a huge star. But when Aaron Brockovich came out, she had only been famous for like 10, 11 years. And so it's really interesting to think like this is the time in an actress's career when they sort of like coronate her. You know what I mean? Like I read one time that the mean age of a Best Actress winner is 29, which when you're younger doesn't seem like crazy, but then when you hit 30 you're like, wow, the moment in an actress's career when they decide this is the moment we're rewarding her is like roughly 10 years in. When they're 29, they win Best Actress, they have the moment, and then there's that period afterwards. So it's like two things with Julia. It's like understanding that that's where she was at that moment. We just thought she was like the A-list actress, always was going to be. But like the decisions that she's had to make since that moment in her career, when she was A, not only just the box office phenomenon of the 90s, but also she ended the 90s winning an Oscar.
Yeah.
And that it's been 20 years since that happened. And she has still been able to sort of like be interesting. Like I think that her performance in Homecoming is one of the better TV performances we've seen. And talk about her in August Osage County. And, you know, she's really decided to stick with developing as an actress and not like do box office, or be a behind the scenes person. But it's interesting the way that these hands are dealt to young women.
I know.
Because the industry is like, figure it out now. Like, we're not going to help you as much, it feels.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's interesting to me to think about Julia in the past 20 years since I'm only now realizing that's how long it's been since Aaron Brockovich.
See, that hurt when you said 20 years.
Doesn't it
you
hurt?
You could have just rounded down.
I could have just not said anything at all, but it's important to note.
You could have said she got the statue in 2001?
Yeah.
So it's only been 19 years.
I could have softened the blow a little bit, but I refuse. It's Corona and I'm delivering hard blows. It has been 2 decades since Aaron Brockovich fever.
It feels just like yesterday. The other thing I want to say about Erin Brockovich is, as a movie, is that it shows like the real SoCal, I think, where it's like, right? I feel like you're seeing like what LA is actually like, and it's not this glamorized version of it, but it's like the very grounded realist, like Steven Soderbergh, like here's lot, like the way that like Magic Mike was like, this is kind of the real Vegas and kind of in all its gritty glory. Like you were seeing like Irvine and I don't know, just like, or Inland Empire-y kind of California. Am I making any sense?
Was Magic Mike in Vegas? The second one was.
Oh, no, no, no. Yes. Yes. Never mind.
Tampa.
Cut that
famously
out.
Famously Tampa. Out. No, don't cut it out. I like we see the real raw.
Okay.
I meant
Tampa. Steven Soderbergh's Tampa. Well, now my point is completely.
Well,
deflated.
He has like that visual style that always makes it look like it's like 5:30. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like
golden
that filter
hour.
On the camera.
It's 5:30
like,
and hot.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
It just 5:30 looks like p.m. If you're not sweating, you're about to be.
Yes.
Yes.
You've been working all day in every shot.
5:30 it's like when and hot.
When she would get home, like, and those like horrible shots of like her going through her apartment, like that was like the cockroaches running around. I felt so anxious and tense for her.
When she gets hit by the car. I mean, that's at the end of a work day.
Yeah, that's at the end of a work day. The filter said she's been working a bunch. And also, not for nothing, but this is a part of the script that she really sells, is when the cockroach runs across the drain.
Yeah.
And she throws the plates and she goes, "Who lives like this?"
We're going out.
Also, when she's trying to find a new job and she's just like looking at the newspaper and just circling with her left hand, I'm like, you go left-handed.
Yeah.
Left-handed
like,
queen.
It's like,
left-handed
doesn't queen. Even make sense, but I just love that line.
Yeah.
That asshole smashed in my fucking neck. Open and shut. Open and shut. Wait, what?
Open
what?
And shut. When she goes, when she's calmly giving her testimony and she goes, and he came around the corner like a bat out of hell.
The hell.
Yes. And then the guy is like a surgeon who spends his days saving lives.
Yeah.
And then he says something about like, oh, you have two kids or you have three kids. She's like, yeah. And he's like, oh, are their father? Is their father helping out?
Yeah, yeah.
Which one?
Yeah.
No, there's two.
What's your point?
It's like,
oh.
What's your
and also,
point?
Wow.
Wait, another iconic part of the movie we can't forget is iconic Marg Helgenberger performance.
Cherry Jones as performance.
Cherry Jones.
I'm going all over the place.
Yes.
Marg and Cherry both really deliver. I mean, when she tells Marg there's a problem with the water, and then Marg runs out and she says,
the kids!
Girls! Get out of the pool!
Get out of the pool!
Get out of the pool!
Yeah. What an amazing film. I might have to watch that soon. I might have to watch that
soon. My boyfriend has never seen it.
Okay, neither has mine, and he won't watch it with me.
Why?
I'm actually going to make him watch it with me tonight. Bowen, yeah, you can come over.
Yes.
He knows that if we watch it together, I'm just going to quote every line.
Yeah, but
and
that's
I already
fine.
Did that with like
that's
half
fine.
Of the Social Network.
Does your boyfriend love you?
Yes.
He should let you. Do you live together? Now we get personal.
Hunter, I have to say something so out of pocket and maybe inappropriate. You have such a beautiful laugh, and this is you're blessing the ears of everybody who gets to hear your laugh now, Hunter.
Okay, I'm not even gonna toot my own horn, but yes,
you have an excellent laugh.
See, and
I love to laugh.
Say it loud, laugh it proud. That's actually title of that.
Say it loud, laugh it proud. Oh my god.
So to think that Erin Brockovich, the film, is now 20 years old has shaken me to my core. But I would like to know, in the past year or so, because it's been like a pretty light year for movies, like what has come out? Has anything this year been like to you notable? Or are you kind of forcing yourself to watch television these days because the prestige has had to move to the small screen? Or are you into Quibi?
I feel like when you say Quibi, you have to like say it three times, like Quibi, Quibi, Quibi.
Yeah,
so that you're not like cursed.
Well, yeah, it's hard to say. It's hard to just say it once.
Okay, I don't know. It's like it's been such a weird year because literally nothing has come out.
Yeah. How are they going to even do the Oscars? It's so weird.
I think it's going to be such a weird award season that it's like not even going to actually end up happening. I mean, the last movie I saw in theaters was Never Rarely, Sometimes Always, the Eliza Hittman, abortion, teenage, like, drama set in New York City that I really loved. And then before that, I was, like, really hype off The Invisible Man, the Elizabeth Moss movie.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay, I don't watch horror, but I heard it lit it up.
It's, like, been a minute since I was, like, what?
You were scared.
I was scared, but I was also just, like, so just floored by everything that happens. I couldn't.
I mean, she could very well be nominated for an Oscar for that. If nothing else comes out for the rest of the year, I mean, we could be seeing that, I think.
Sure.
I mean, maybe we'll get Tenet in, you know, a month.
Will we get Tenet?
Where do you stand on the Tenet discourse?
Okay, I feel like it is gross and unethical and immoral to try to release a blockbuster movie in the middle of a global pandemic. Yes. That's just how I feel. Yes. And I cannot imagine anything more irresponsible. And I'm saying this as someone who wants to see the movie, also understands what time we're living in. But ultimately, I think it will be as satisfying as every other Christopher Nolan movie. And then some guy will try to explain it to me and I'll say, you know, it is what it is.
And how satisfying are Christopher Nolan movies to you as you exit pre-explanation of front by this asshole, whoever that person may be? Are you a fan?
I generally am a fan. I didn't like Interstellar and I didn't like The Prestige, but I did like Dunkirk enough and I liked Inception enough, and Insomnia I liked too, the Pacino one.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised you didn't like Interstellar more though, because they gave you some dazzling drag in that movie, I feel. Like when Anne Hathaway tearfully explains that one theory she has is that love is the answer.
Right, and the Ellen Burstyn scenes at the end are just so, they really go there.
Ellen Burstyn is in a hospital on like a ring-like planet or something. Yeah, it's beautiful. It is drag. It's drag. But you did not enjoy it as much as Dunkirk, which I hated.
I thought at least Dunkirk was like cool to look at.
Okay.
And also every guy in Dunkirk just like looked like someone I knew. So I was like, whatever. He's like the crooked teeth version of my friends, I guess.
You know what I just remembered? Timothée Chalamet is in Interstellar.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't he play the son?
He's one of the kids? Oh, God.
It's so crazy to think that Timothée Chalamet was just recently a working actor who you could see in such series as Homeland and bit parts in Interstellar. And now he's like the moment.
The moment.
Where do you stand on the Timothée Chalamet versus Lucas Hedges of it all?
Oh, my God.
I bet you have takes. She's a tough question.
Lucas hasn't been in anything.
He's been in enough to compare them.
Okay. All right.
The last thing.
Lucas stays out of the conversation, though. You know what I'm saying?
He does. He keeps to himself.
Yeah.
Well, he's not a capital S star. I mean, this is our star and actress debate. Timothée Chalamet is a star and Lucas Hedges is an actress.
An actor. Yeah, actress, yeah.
I think that's true. I think Lucas could be a star. He just chooses like not to be. He does have big working actor energy.
Yes. He is so good that I think he takes away from his own stardom because he's so sunk into the walls of the projects. Like, for example, I just watched Lady Bird again the other night. And the scene with Lucas Hedges, like when he's auditioning with Giants in the Sky, it's like so you take for granted that he just feels like a kid doing it.
Yeah.
And it's this genius performance of like that I think he pulls off even better than Saoirse, which is like kid sort of trying his best to do this, but still thinking about the fact that he's auditioning. It just feels so authentic. And then his coming out scene to Saoirse, It hurts my chest how good he is in it. It's just so good. And Timmy, when he comes into the movie, is just like, this swagger is just dripping off of him. And you get immediately why she would like, fuck this kid.
But I think it's also because we're seeing these people through her eyes. When she's talking to Lucas, she's like, he's sensitive. I love him. We've like named a star together.
Yeah.
And then when she sees Timmy, she's like, oh, he's like hot.
Yeah.
We need to get this together.
And really doesn't have time for me. And right, it's like that sort of nagging that he does. Oh man, he's so good at it too. He's so good. Unforge.
Mm-hmm. Unforge. Why do we say Unforge?
Well, because it's like he.
Because I want. Because I get why you said it, but let's just examine as a trio. Like how do you solve a problem like Timothy?
It's not a problem.
It's not a problem.
It's not a problem, but I don't think it's good to be star so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Yes, thank you. It's for his own well-being.
Right. I think I like the progression of Lucas Hedges, where it's like nominated for an Oscar early in his career, is super talented, but also like isn't like on the cover of...
Yes.
I mean, is on the cover of magazines in the same way that like Timmy is, you know?
The fashion of it all is where it sorts the... Like, the sort of groundbreaking fashion presence that is Timothée Chalamet, I'm not really ready for, but I also understand that I better get ready for it because I have understood now that he will be around for the next, I'm going to say 40. I think she's here to stay.
Lucas can pull off the high fashion when he wants to, like the GQ cover...
Right.
Like those looks were amazing. I feel like it's very much just to like totally reduce this down to something terrible. It's like it's very much a Jackie Marilyn dichotomy we're working with.
Interesting.
I was going to say like Leo Matt.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's absolutely better. Yes.
Although did Matt really compete with Leo for like the Hearts of America?
I mean, I don't think so in the same way, but I think Good Will Hunting definitely engendered this kind of like goodwill towards.
Yes.
Towards like wanting to see Matt Damon just win.
Right.
Very that.
And Matt was coming in as like a student, as like someone who like wrote this.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's part of it too.
Right. Academic fish. We, of course, have not seen Matt Damon write another thing.
I think that's okay.
I don't.
Really?
Because they have an Academy Award.
Yeah, which does not.
We need the follow up. And also, it's like, I don't know. The fact that Matt Damon has rarely ever been on that behind the camera or like writing anything since.
Yeah.
Like, to me, is like, well, did we sort of make it look like these boys really slated at their young age then in 1997 just to kind of make them stars? Of course, maybe that was part of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Or we could say what no one wants to say, and it's that Ben is the talent.
Mmm. That's I think there could be something to that.
There is.
Because unfortunately, Ben does have some talent when he wants to employ that.
Or when he wants to do a paparazzi walk with Ana de Armas, which is also cinema.
Pretty much he is... I mean, Ben Affleck, he does give it to you in terms of stardom. We definitely have moments. One of my favorite moments in any of his performances is him as Batman when he goes to serve Gal Gadot a drink and pours a quadruple into a glass with just like the most lived-in thing I've ever seen. And you sort of see in her eyes when he's pouring the drink, she's like,
uh-huh.
Okay, wow. We're going for it. And it doesn't feel directed to me. It just feels like something that just happened.
Wow. He did not win for directing, did he? An Oscar?
No.
No, he wasn't even nominated for directing.
Right, okay, it was a controversy. Phew. The Hollywood Foreign Press gave him the award. And the Oscar said, not yet.
Wow. And that's how you know.
I mean,
that hurts. That hurts.
They don't have it together when it comes to the directing nominations. I mean, it's been said a million times about how many times they've passed over women. But I mean, the fact that... And he's getting recanceled, it seems, because Winona Ryder said something, I guess. But the fact that Mel Gibson was recently nominated for Best Director, like for Hacksaw Ridge in 2015, I believe it was. And or was it 2017?
It was more recent than,
It might have
been. I think it was 2017.
Yeah, I think it was 2017.
Hunter's looking it up.
The fact that we allowed that one, it's just like, wow. That not being the number one controversy of that moment, like, is insane. The fact that they had,
but he was still on round tables. He was still campaigning. It's like that was so recent. Yeah. I mean, it blows my mind.
People conveniently seem to forget when powerful, rich, white men do these sorts of things. And like, yes, people are vocally upset about it, and like, there's a conversation about it, but they do not seem to face repercussions, because no matter what, if you're nominated for Best Director, which is the highest award for leadership in our industry, then you have not faced consequences for that. Like, maybe right. he's not acting as much anymore. That's right. not really a consequence for what he yes. has done and seems to continue to do. Like, because yes. he's still reaping huge benefits in other areas.
Yes, yes. This was 2017, Hunter. Can we
do it? Yes, it was 2017.
Wow. Berserk.
Crazy, crazy.
Berserk.
Okay. I feel like we need... I need to hear it from Hunter's ears. And I kind of tried to
from Hunter's ears,
before.
We need to hear it.
I'm sorry, from Hunter's mouth to my ears. I know I sort of asked this in some form earlier, but like why A Star Is Born? Why this A Star Is Born? What is it about the characters? I mean, Jackson Maine feels like a fixture in like the Hunter Harris like Twitter narrative. I really just want to hear you sort of extemporaneously talk about A Star Is Born to me and what's so okay. perfect about it.
Well, okay. I think it is, I honestly just liked being surprised by things.
Okay.
And I did not expect to like A Star Is Born. Mm. I think I'd seen only the Judy Garland version before.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, I'd like heard all this drama behind the scenes. I was like, I don't care about Bradley Cooper. Telephone is the most important song to ever have been recorded,
yes.
but I'm like not a huge like Little Monster.
Yeah,
right.
And then I just walk into this movie 5 minutes in. I'm like, oh, this is not going to go well for me.
Wow.
Because it was so good.
Yeah, yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, I was just so won over by how big it is, how loud it is, how earnest it is, uh-huh. which is like not a word I even like to leave my lips.
Wow.
But I was like, this is a movie.
Yeah.
Like we're watching a real movie mm-hmm. that is like so carefully and intricately put together. And like the music was really good. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like, you know, talking about a movie is to me the best part of it. And
yeah.
it's like, I could walk out of that movie and truly just, there's so many theories about like, are they sleeping together? Do they actually hate each other?
Yeah.
Do they go to the same colorist? Is Irina Shayk about to leave Bradley Cooper?
Right.
Like all of these things. And then it's like they do the Oscar performance
yeah.
and you're like, this is truly the most intimate thing that I've ever
yeah,
seen.
Yeah, wow.
So definitively, what is your opinion on what happened with their relationship throughout the process that was A Star Is Born, and where are they now?
I think maybe they were kissing.
Yeah.
They were kissing.
But then I think it was just, you know, intensity, passion in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fact that Dave Chappelle is in this movie is like also crazy.
Right.
There's a lot that's insane about
it's like
the movie coming together.
The fact that Lunel is like one of my favorite comedians in this movie, like thank God.
Thank God. Anthony Ramos
no,
plays
I think
the
it's
gay
just
man.
Like, mm-hmm. Okay, Anthony Ramos plays the friend that for some reason was listening to Yonkers by Tyler the Creator just fully into the year 2018.
Yonkers was in the movie.
Yes, it's what plays when Lady Gaga goes to his room, knocks on the door, says, "What do I do? He's drunk. We can't have sex." And it's like, who was listening to Yonkers?
Okay, got it.
That's a mystery that I still want to solve.
Maybe that was Anthony bringing that in.
Sure. Did I misinterpret? I feel like Anthony's character was gay.
He was gay.
I don't think he was gay.
Oh, really?
Interesting. Got it. I feel like
he was
gay. This is what I'm talking about.
And this is the
name
is the
one
discourse.
Other movie that we could have this debate about.
No. I feel
fully
that
years later.
Honestly, yes. Yeah. And the conversation will continue because it's my favorite
so,
thing
it's
about
so
the movie.
It's so much
changes.
Fun to talk about. It's so much yeah. fun to talk about. I mean, I can remember tweets. Hunter's tweets. She goes, Jackson Maine at the Grammys, and then it's the GIF. It's the video of the person in their car going, "This is so humiliating." This is so humiliating. You can have so much fun
oh
with this
God.
Movie.
Yeah, and
exactly.
also her turning around to say what? He could say anything. It is meme. It arrived at the right point for meme
the
culture.
The trailer was so good.
Yeah. The trailer was one of the best of all time. And
like,
also, not for nothing, but for the trailer to not only like promise something amazing, but then the film delivered on that moment.
On
that moment that is forever film history.
Perfect. Still.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Wow.
And her performance is fucking great.
She's great. She's great.
It's so good.
C97, is that the right
C98.
Number?
C98.
C98, as we've said before, I mean, fully improvised, like... like
unhinged
scene, unhinged dialogue. It could not have possibly been written. That's my theory.
But what are your thoughts, Hunter, on the way that the movie ends?
Yeah,
like in terms of the I'll never love again of it all, like, do you agree that the movie sort of lost its way in the second half, or does it not
Absolutely.
Matter to you?
No, it definitely does lose its direction, but it almost makes me love it more because of its flaws, because it was so close to being so perfect.
Yeah.
I think that I'll Never Love Again is like, you know, not to bring it back, but it is just a fake Whitney Houston song.
Yes,
it is.
And yeah, it's like that part just seems like a little bit too like Hollywood to me.
Right. The movie had its own iconography until it was trying to be other things for some weird reason.
It took a lurch.
Like, yeah.
It like Shallow was so its own visual, and like it had its own visual identity until she get, and maybe this is a comment, I doubt it, but until she gets just like usurped by Hollywood and gets that new manager, then it feels like from that point on, not only does she feel like not the character we've known, but the movie doesn't feel like the movie we've been watching.
Yeah.
And
right.
If you were really going to give him the benefit of the doubt, you would say this is a comment on how things lose their voice and become sort of amorphous after a while when you allow like money to suck
away. Fame distorts
it.
You. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That there's that. But also I just think it just maybe wasn't a very good second half of the movie.
Hmm. No, after the alley billboard, it kind of loses the sense of itself.
It couldn't heighten.
That is the inflection point, because I don't know, Matt, were you in the theater with me? But I remember seeing that and just gasping. I was just like, oh my God, like this movie is off the rails now. Like this billboard is ridiculous.
Well, the billboard, I think, was the last acceptable thing in the movie.
Yeah.
And then
exactly,
because it was just like this moment. It's like we understand she is now like joke famous, like right. it's like we get it. And but that's when,
because that's when you knew that she did not have a last name,
right?
Full she does have a last name.
Well she Maine? Does
Maine or no what her maiden name?
No okay, one of my sources sent me an Academy screening Q&A where Bradley Cooper says her last name is Campana, which is
Campana.
One letter different than his mom's name. The fact that it's Campana is like so on the nose.
Can you but believe Ali Campana had that been her name? They had to take it away from Gaga. She would not have been able to stop.
I think that what the problem for me with the Ali billboard is that the billboard plus the hair plus the manager plus that scene where Jackson Maine says, if you don't dig deep into your fucking soul.
Yep.
It's like, it's just, it's all so on the nose.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
We get it.
Right.
Like, we're supposed to think that she's this, and this.
Right,
like,
right.
It's too perfect.
Also, the movie, I think, very stupidly does have the attitude that pop music is dumb.
Right.
Like, I think
which
it's,
we hate.
It's not the tone I think they should have struck.
Right. But Hunter, what are you going to say?
I was going to say that in interviews, Bradley Cooper defended the pop songs and Lady Gaga didn't.
And that Diane really Warren defended the songwriting. That is really fascinating. I mean,
yes.
And yes, you're right, Matt. Like Gaga, if her name had been Ali Campana, if the last name was figured into the final movie, Gaga on every single press stop would have been like,
she's Italian.
It's actually Bradley's mother's name, but we changed it one letter.
I mean, you almost wish that it had been so that we could hear her talk about like how she identified even more because it was an Italian last name and it was actually Bradley's mother, so that was special. But ultimately, that's the weird thing about the movie that I think they got really wrong is like the reason that Lady Gaga is such a force and like the reason she hit so hard and has stayed so hard is because she made fun music that was like from her spirit, made people dance. And like that, it seems weird that she would be the one to be like, and then she sells out, because we know that's not making pop music isn't selling out. And he was so clearly what was wrong about that situation. Like he was not right in trying to continue to micromanage her, and like maybe she didn't get involved with the right people,
right?
But I don't know, like I said, act two completely just, I think it just made the wrong choices, that's all. And ultimately we have to look forward to the sequel.
We have to look forward to the sequel. The three of us love it so much. It's one of our favorite movies.
I think it's the only movie recreation, like in terms of the original ones, they don't have a sequel. I do want to see what Ally Maine does from here.
Yeah,
when she walked off stage.
I want a sophomore album for sure.
Yeah, oh yeah. Who do we think? Who do we think the co-star is? Ryan Reynolds.
I think that would be beautiful.
I don't know why I said that. That's just the first word that I thought of.
I love that your reaction to Ryan Reynolds was just an ooh.
What about I don't know, I'll have to think about
okay.
it.
Yeah, who do we, honestly, and we put it to the readers, who would you like to see star in the sequel to A Star Is Born that I can announce now the three of us are writing?
Yes. Oh, that's fun. We should write it and then do a Zoom reading.
So it is time at this time, take a short break, and we're gonna do I Don't Think So, Honey.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst. Hey, everybody. During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs classic clogs and sandals have both covered.
And when we're talking about style, we mean personal style. There's just so many colors and so many gibbets charms. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood and to match your personality and to fit the occasion.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style.
And now let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than the Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
Hey, it's Bowen, and I want to introduce you to the new Cantina Chicken Menu at Taco Bell. Yes, it's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients, great as a lunchtime option. Taste for yourself the slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage, and new avocado verde salsa sauce. With new menu options like Cantina Chicken Tacos, burritos, and quesadillas, there's something for everyone. And Taco Bell isn't just for a late night. With this new Cantina Chicken Menu, the possibilities are, well, endless. Try the new Cantina Chicken Menu at Taco Bell now. Now, I said.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
And we're back with Hunter Harris. And on this episode, we're going to do I Don't Think So, Honey, because that's what we do on all episodes. We've actually taken a week break from I Don't Think So, Honey, actually, or a 2-week break even.
Oh, yes.
And so it's time. And Bowen, do you have takes this week?
I have one. Do you
want to I'll go first, but you know, I feel that I Don't Think So, Honey has sort of like been given new energy because we can now be topical and I can speak to something that's in the news cycle.
Okay, that's perfect. So
feeling good.
I love when you go topical.
Everyone's talking about this.
I love when you go topical, and I can't wait to hear your take on this. This is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. People who talk about Hamilton like it's Starbucks. Hamilton is not fucking Starbucks, you freaks. Hamilton is not McDonald's. Hamilton is not this commercial bullshit. We get it. You're a democratic socialist. You hate money.
Oh.
That does not mean you need to fucking rail on Hamilton like it's fucking mass media. Hamilton was created from the souls of artists of color. Okay. And every time you get on and there and you it. Say, fuck this, and you say, seconds. Fuck Hamilton, what you're saying is, you haven't seen it. Because mm-hmm. had you seen it, you'd be shouting in the streets. You'd be campaigning out there for Renee Elise Goldsberry to win. I don't care what she's eligible for, yes. whatever it is. You would be basking in Lamar seconds. Odom Jr. You would be respecting Lin-Manuel Miranda. Because yes, he may be a quote-unquote irritating presence oh. to you, but he is also a genius.
5 seconds.
And Hamilton is not something that you can talk about in terms of like, oh, it's eating up the media narrative. It is a work of art. I don't think so, honey.
And that's 1 minute. Thank you. And
did you feel this is happening?
A little bit. And there's this weird phenomenon where people are taking cover behind Toni Morrison hating it to be like, wokely be like, oh, so see, like, it sucks. Like, I don't know. It could, both things could coexist where, like, yeah, Toni Morrison hated it for whatever reasons she hated it, but also, like, it could be, like, a good musical written by...
You would never leave the theater after seeing Hamilton and say, fuck that, I didn't like that. Because sure. it's literally blood, sweat, and tears, and emotions, and performed so beautifully
it's
and
very
so
impressive.
Painstakingly. And it's so obviously, like, looking at the way you can... perform theater and trying to find new ways and yes. innovations on that idea, so that for you to say like fuck that I didn't like that or act like it's something negative for the world, that's so annoying to sure, me and sure. people talking about it like it's McDonald's is so crazy, like it's this thing to be
cool
consumed and not just like an artistic achievement. And I guess it's ultimately like says something about its artistic achievement that it's gotten to that point, but this sure. isn't like some, it's not garbage. And so if you're out there thinking it's garbage, like you should watch it, and you can watch it on Disney Plus now. So, but anyway,
yes,
not that I'm promoting it. It doesn't need my promotion. Like, and maybe it's like uncool for me to say, stop attacking this extremely popular thing. But the people that are like eating up the space on Twitter saying how Hamilton is uncool, it's like, that is one of the least cool things you could say, I think.
Yeah. Everyone's just having a good time, like, reliving it. Like, that, yeah. that's just been what's nice about it. For people who have seen it, it's been nice to just, like, just relive it and be like, oh, yeah, like, I didn't get to see it with Philippa, and she's doing great.
Maybe I have, like, an emotional attachment to it, because when I saw it, it was 2 days after Pulse.
Oh.
And I remember it was, like, I had never felt that bad. Like, after mm-hmm, the Pulse shooting, mm-hmm. I was, like, so devastated. And there is, like, a lot in it about gun violence, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so, like, there was these segments of the show that I thought carried a little bit more weight because of what had just happened. And I was yeah. so emotionally raw. And it is such yeah. an emotional show. So it's not like... But then again, I don't feel like I'm out here defending it because I have an emotional attachment to it. I just think it's ridiculous to consider something that obviously came from like some like a love of something with any other commercial bullshit that's like taking away from yeah. people who endeavor to see it or like buy into watching it. You know what I mean?
For sure. For sure.
Hunter, what is your opinion on Hamilton?
I have no opinion. I've never seen it.
You're
like,
see
I don't
it.
Give a fuck.
I'm along for the ride. No, I was going to watch it probably this week, actually.
Okay.
You'll like it.
You'll like
Do you
it.
Like theater?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. And that I actually respect that.
Oh, we actually respect that.
We actually
so
respect
listen,
that.
So listen, Bo and Yang. We'll find out if I respect you after you're out on Think So, Honey.
This is... okay, yeah. This is going to be an extemporaneous one, as it usually is.
Extemporaneous. Can't wait for extemporaneous Bo and Yang. And his I Don't Think So, Honey starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey calling me kiddo in any sort of flirtatious capacity.
Wow.
I feel like it's... I don't know. I mean, I'm not over here using daddy that often either. Like, I'm not acknowledging any generational gap in my sexual parlance with people. So kiddo feels like the opposite of daddy, but it's sort of offensive for the same reasons. It's not offensive, but I'm saying it offends me for the same reasons. Calling me kiddo, I think it just kills the sex for me. I'm like, okay, so you are going to infantilize me in this way that
seconds.
Feels a little troubling, and I don't really want that as part of our dynamic. And you calling me kiddo...
I don't know. Do you? It feels like you're in. It feels like you want to be like, you know, what's his face, like Lenny Kravitz in Hunger Games or something. Does he say that? I feel like he does. He might not actually say call Jennifer Lawrence kiddo in the movie or in the books, but I feel like he would, and that just makes me feel uneasy.
5 seconds.
I love Lenny Kravitz in Hunger Games, and he's very sexy. But just for someone I met off Tinder to call me kiddo, I don't want it.
And that's
what I'm saying, honey.
Of course, Lenny Kravitz was never more sexier than when he was in The Hunger Games.
Yes, absolutely.
yeah, I hadn't thought of that before, Bowen.
It's like the opposite.
Assuming
of
a lot.
And like for some reason, I don't mind it when someone calls me the handful of times someone has even facetiously called me daddy. I'm like, oh, haha, that's funny. And like, hopefully I won't have an issue with it as I get older, or as I hope to be called it as I get older. But to be called kiddo now at my age, I don't enjoy it.
I don't.
It sounds patronizing.
Yes.
It is.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
Exactly right. I feel that what they're saying is like, hey, in my initial interaction with you, I'm letting you know that I'm the authority figure in this relationship, which is not a conversation we've had prior.
No, we have not laid out the terms of this exactly. Mm-mm. Hunter, I think it's time for Hunter's. I don't think so, honey. Okay. Oh, and
goodness.
I feel a stirring. I feel a quickening. Okay, this is Hunter Harris's. I don't think so, honey. Her time starts now.
Okay, my I don't think so, honey, is about Mr. Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I don't think so, honey. I will not allow the Joseph Gordon-Levitt industrial complex to rise again.
Oh my God.
Here's the thing. I don't think so, honey, because the most lonely I felt is when all of my friends had a crush on him after 500 Days of Summer, and I knew that was a bad movie, and I knew he was a bad
terrible
boyfriend,
movie.
And I knew better, but I was shy, so I just went along with
30
it.
Seconds.
But I'm tired of it. I don't think he is a very charismatic actor. I did not like it when he hosted SNL and said make him laugh. I thought that was very upsetting, and I have not forgotten it. It still haunts me to this day. And
15.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I don't think so, honey. He's trying to he's trying to resuscitate his career. Hit record, Joe. I don't think so.
Oh my God. And that is 1 minute.
I don't even know what Hit Record Joe is. I have to come out of saying this. Is it a production company?
It's not exactly a production company. It is his, I think at one point was a platform where you could like upload videos similar to, you know, whatever, like Vine.
I see.
Yeah.
TikTok, something like, but it was like, it predated all of that. And then at some point, I think he took the material to like make it into his own thing. But now his Twitter handle is still Hit Record Joe, and he still has these like automated tweets soliciting like, you know, advice, reactions, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just all so incredibly internet in 2011 that I just cannot.
Yeah, he really had a moment of sort of a gradual Chalamet-ing where he really became the one for a little bit, but it didn't feel like it came out of nowhere.
So.
He had like earned it. He had been on Third Rock from the Sun. He had like done all these indie movies. Remember Brick? Like he had like done all this cool stuff and then had that moment with 500 Days of Summer. And I think what happened was he thought of himself as an auteur a little early. I think he branched out and
he fully tapped out, I feel. Because, like, in Dark Knight Rises, like, it was fully set up that, like, there would be another franchise for him, for that character.
I completely forgot. He was in that.
Yeah.
He was, like, a Christopher
also,
Nolan favorite.
Inception. Remember that?
Yes.
And for some reason, I don't remember him in those movies. But I do remember him vividly in Don John. Like, Don John to me is...
Don John was already on the decline.
Love Don John. Is that insane?
I loved Looper.
I've never seen it.
Oh, okay. It's worth it. I feel like it would hit with you because Scarlett Johansson is giving you a certain amount of drag in that movie too.
I was talking to someone and they just did an impression of like of Joseph Gordon-Levitt in the trailer where he's like, he does this crazy accent where he's just like, nothing
like
gets
this
in the way between me and my porn or whatever. I don't know.
And like porn. Yeah, he's like really, really,
he's
really
doing Rod Serling / me doing the comic book or Snake in the Simpsons being like, nothing gets in the
with
way.
A dash of like Jersey Shore.
The dash of Jersey Shore. Like, I feel like he wants to resuscitate, but to do it now is so interesting. And I feel like he just like took a weird left turn and then was just like producing theater for a while. Like, I don't really know.
Oh, I was not aware of that.
Honestly, maybe he would, because now that we remember he was in Blockbusters, maybe he, like, after getting a taste of that, was like, fuck this, I don't want to do this right now. And then wanted to sort of do his own thing. But they are interesting choices.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
We get some would say the choices have been interesting.
And but- Hunter, you're just done with him. You don't want to see him anymore.
I have just never seen it for him.
Yeah.
So I really, there's like nowhere to go.
Yeah.
For me,
there's nowhere to go
with in regards to Mr. Gordon Lovett.
I like him and thought that this is my own Long Island like trauma, but I thought he was so hot in Don John. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for my community out here.
Oh wow. Yeah.
But I won't find it in this Zoom.
For too long, Long Islanders have not had culture that specifically caters to them.
Shut up, Bowen.
That's what I'm
you
saying.
Rude.
No, it's the truth. Well, wow, what an episode this has been. I can't think of a better person to kick off our post 200th episode stretch than Hunter
really,
Harris.
You sort of become, this is really the beginning of our new era, which is we do, it's like our BC is like before the list and after the list. We do BL and AL.
Yes.
So this is like year one AL. And we thank
I'm
you.
I'm so honored.
Yes. And actually, I think this is the birth of a segment that Matt and I had kind of talked about before. We might do a new thing where we talk about a thing that should have made the list and is in some ways even better than anything on the list. And I think the first inductee onto that list is Aaron Brockovich.
I think so. I mean, I have to say thank you so much.
Thank you, Hunter.
If this is the beginning of a precedent where everyone that comes on the show says their culture that made them say culture was for them, and then we immediately decide if that's worth putting into the culture list, I love that for us because it gives us authority. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, Hunter, thank you so much.
Where can they follow you on damn Twitter?
I tweet at Hunter Y. Harris.
And you should be following. In fact, I think we made a rule of culture a while back. Like, if you're not following Hunter Harris, then you don't get it.
You don't get it. Also, Hunter, your skincare... I'm sorry, this is another uncute thing to say, but your skincare routine, was it on the cut or was it on Strategist? This is on the
cut.
It
was on... The cut. Yes.
Oh, and then you had an Into the Gloss feature as well. I mean,
oh, yes.
Skincare Queen, Hunter Harris, please check out the routine.
I just ordered an ice face mask.
Great.
Oh, I love those.
Really? So do they work?
Yes. I mean, I think they're very soothing. I don't think they actually help with your skin.
Oh, really? Okay, so I'm looking for like a deep puffer.
You get a jade roller.
Is the jade roller just kind of like...
It's lymphatic.
A placebo?
Maybe, but it's if you put it in your freezer and you whip it out morning and night and the cold just sort of like depuffs and it feels nice. It feels like a nice step of like.
All right. I'm going to try process, it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have a cold face for the next several weeks.
Okay.
We thank you.
We thank you. Okay. At Hunter by Harris on Twitter. Thank you so much, Hunter. We always close each episode with a song.
Maybe it's time that the old ways die. What? Oh my God!
Maybe
we forgot the words.
Time that the old ways die.
Is that what it is?
That's
whenever you're listening to the Star Is Born soundtrack and like the Jackson Maine song comes on, you're like, "What the fuck is this?" And then you go, "Ah!"
We can't do it.
And everything's better. Bye.
Bye.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Some say Titanic is the best gay nightclub in the city, and those people are me.
And me. So set sail with this cookie crazy off-Broadway hit and get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.